This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program. Presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome inside Golf Talk Canada. The whole gang is here on this lovely Monday morning. Adam Scully, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks. Another very busy week in the world of golf as the Florida swing wrapped up. And Mark, starting with you, you were on location at the Valspar Championship. What was the vibe like throughout the week at the Valspar?
Very different, guys. I got to be honest with you. It was crazy. My last event for PGA Tour Radio on the ground for quite some time. I've been doing so many events on the ground. It was a lot of heavy lifting, 15,000 steps a day. Spectators were out in full force. I got to tell you guys, something happened this week that has never happened before to me. And I'm going to start this with, I am sick and tired. I don't need any more concerts. I hate this.
Is this going to be a rant?
Yes. Yeah, here we go. It's going to be a right off the top. I am done with concerts at golf events. I mean, if you don't want to come out and watch golf, great. Stay home. Okay? I don't need you at some country concert and then getting pie-eyed and acting like a complete buffoon the entire day. This is all spillover from the WM. The WM is kind of vomited all over the world of golf. And, you know, it's just like everywhere you go, everybody's acting like an idiot. Sunday, we had great golf fans here. We had people out to watch golf, you know, so into who was going to win. Huge amount of Canadians supporting Mackenzie Hughes on Sunday. Saturday was country music fans falling down drunk. On the 12th hole, the players couldn't even hear themselves think. And I got in a physical altercation for the first time in my job. I was standing on the side of a hill beside the green, left the 15, and Peter Malnati had a 15-foot birdie effort on Saturday. I was with him and Hughes. I walked with them almost all week. It was crazy. Every time I looked up, I was with Malnati and Hughes. And some guy came over the top. Big guy, too. Well, compared to me, let's be honest, everybody looks tall. So over the top, barely speaking English. I don't know what language was coming out of his mouth. It was something in the middle of a drunk Homer Simpson meets Peter Griffin kind of mashup. Goes and reaches for the microphone. As he reaches for the microphone in a lunge, he hits my arm. Luckily, I was on tape. I wasn't live because, you know, 50% of the time we're live, 50% of the time we're calling on tape. I grab my clipboard. You know, I carry one of those thick clipboards. I turn around and I nutted this guy in the head with my clipboard. It's funny now. And we actually have this audio on PGA Tour Radio in our vault. I will see if I can get my friends at PGA Tour Radio to pull this audio because it's hilarious.
Okay, several. We're gonna have to take a deep dive into that.
We're off to a good start this morning, guys.
Yeah, Bob, for you. Good morning, and are you going to apply to be part of Mark's security team?
Yes, I am. I think he needs a bouncer to go with him over the next little while. And I like the fact when he started telling that story, I thought he was going to say came off the top. He said came off the top. I thought he was like talking about wrestling, coming off the top rope or something, and he was in the ring. And
it is anyway, WrestleMania season, Bob.
We'll look out for you. We'll look out for you at the RBC Canadian Open later this summer.
Bob, the first thought I had was, where's Adam? I mean, yeah. He's security for you and I, right? I'm looking, where's Scully? He's at home. He's got his feet up in the studio. He's probably watching golf on TV, relaxing, you know, maybe getting ready for a late night sports center. I mean, he's supposed to be protecting you and I from these types of things.
Exactly.
Well, I'll be in training here. Another motivation to stay limber and stay strong and wear the shmediums throughout my life. And I'll be ready to be your director of security for both of you. Okay, busy show for us today. CPKC Women's Open Tournament Director Ryan Paul joining the show. Last week on radio, we teased an announcement that was coming just after our Wednesday show that the 2025 CPKC Women's Open going to Mississauga, and that's where it's going. So Ryan Paul joining us in hour two. We'll discuss Nelly Korda back to world number one, already her second victory of the LPGA Tour season in a tournament where a Canadian had the lead after 18 holes. That was Motomi LeBlanc. We'll go deep dive into that. And the first ever PGA Tour America's winner, Clay Fagler, going to join the show. He's coming on in about 40 minutes live, joining Mark, Bob, and I here on GTC. Well, let's kick things off with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger, everybody knows one.
Well, it was another week and another close call for Team Canada on the PGA Tour. Mackenzie Hughes, a T3 finish at the Valspar Championship on a day where there were six different leaders or co-leaders on Sunday. And Mark, you spent a lot of time with Mac, with Peter Malnati. Let's start with Mac here. What did you see from Mac overall that, you know, put him in a good chance to win, but just couldn't quite get it done on the back nine on Sunday?
With the exception of the iron shot at 12 and 13, and I think at 12 and 13, his mind was racing a little bit because I think he felt that he had one hand on this trophy when we made the turn, especially when we left that 10th green and he poured in that 45-footer, which was a real dagger to Malnati because Malnati hit it so tight on 10. And I think Peter thought he was going to be tied for the lead when we walked off the 10th green. But instead, at the end of the day, with that 45-footer, Max still had the lead. So with the exception of a couple iron shots, I would say that Mackenzie Hughes' game looks so good to me, guys, with the irons. The putter is back to where it was, where he's doing his best Jordan Spieth impression. Everything looks good, except he is driving it like Jordan Spieth as well. And to me, that's the problem. I mean, and it started Thursday. I started with Mac on Thursday when he made the double bogey at 5. He was off to a hot start. He should have been leading this golf tournament by a few shots after day one. Made a double bogey at the par 5 off another horrible drive. Got unlucky, got an embedded ball in a bad place on that hole. But again, his driving was horrific. And it's a two-way miss. It seems to be super wide right, and then the compensation is the quick tug, so we got to go in both ways. And this is not a golf course, where you can drive it poorly. There's trees everywhere, there's bad spots everywhere, you guys know that. If he had driven it just 10% better, he would have won this golf tournament. I really believe that. I'm not taking any away from Peter Malnati, what a popular victory that is. Like I said to you guys, if it couldn't have been Mac, how can you not feel good for Peter? But all that being said, he needs to drive the golf ball better. Even at some of the setups we have on tour, you can't drive it that poorly. But the rest of it looks good. We just need to get some type of go-to shot. He has no fairway finder at all right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Mark, too, because at the Players' Championship, Mackenzie Hughes was fourth in strokes gained off the tee and didn't putt as well, whereas this past week at the Valspar, he putted significantly better but didn't drive it well at all, to your point, off the tee. Bob, what did you see from Mackenzie Hughes?
Well, it's basically an exact opposite of what we saw at the Players' Championship, where his putter was cold and his driver was actually pretty good. His numbers off the tee were much better last week. He has started working with a new coach in the last, say, 6 weeks to a month, a guy by the name of Mark Wood, who lives in Charlotte, and has, which is where Mac makes his home now these days. And he has worked with kind of the crew in that area, everybody from Webb Simpson to Johnson Wagner, people who live in that Charlotte area. He's not a high-profile coach, but I think he's doing exactly what Mac needs him to do, is just some reassurance. And I think a lot of Mac's problems are he just thinks so much, and he can get down on himself pretty quickly. If you talk to some of the guys who caddied for him, Julian Trudeau and right now and Jace Walker previously, they both say that, you know, you got to keep him pumped up, you got to keep him positive. He can hit those shots, but his head starts to spin a little bit. And with that, it's no surprise that, as Mark said, he's got the two-way miss going. But the putting was spectacular. There he picked up just over 9 shots on the field with the strokes gained. I think he was finished second in strokes gained putting. So that's good to see, because that's kind of the base of the foundation of his golf game. And if the driver just kind of finds a few more, or as Mark says, if he finds a fairway finder, then look out. He could really do something, some damage out there. And I know last week he added Valspar at the last minute, the 4:55 Friday commitment, and he's again playing this week because he does have a chance to get into the Masters, and that's really what his goal is right now, to try and move up another 13 spots.
Mackenzie, you second in strokes gained putting at the Valspar Championship, 70th in strokes gained off the tee, finishing T3. And Mark, sure, he didn't drive it well at all, but man, he had some bad breaks on Sunday too. You know, you think of the 12th hole, he spoke about it afterwards, the wind switching in his swing. And I mean, sure, he didn't hit his best shot. He hit it long left, but the way that ball was in the back of that bunker and didn't roll all the way back down, he had a bunker shot off a downslope with absolutely no green to work with. You think of the ninth hole, that tee shot that didn't plug in the fairway bunker, but it might as well have plugged in the fairway bunker. And the par five on the back nine too. Sure, he missed the fairway, but he's right up against the lip, has, you know, 180, 200 yards for his third shot. He didn't get the breaks as well on Sunday.
No, and it's also one thing about the setup here at the Valspar. You know, week in and week out on the PGA Tour, I'm going to say the majority of the weeks, you take out the Memorial because Jack likes his bunkers raked a certain way at the Memorial to make sure that there's a penalty if you're going to put it in some of Jack's bunkers. The U.S. Open, obviously the USGA wants bunkers to be a penalty, not a target. But with the exception of a couple courses or a couple venues like that, bunkers on the PGA Tour week in and week out are not problems for these guys. They're firm, they're raked perfect, they can control the ball, they can spin it, they can pick it, they can do whatever they want. Valspar's not like that. These bunkers here are so sandy. It's almost like beach sand that you would find locally on the, you know, the shores of St. Pete's or Clearwater. Like, it's crazy how beachy it is. And I mean, to your point, Adam, how often do you ever see drivers plug? I mean, we'll see the odd short iron plug on the PGA Tour. The odd one. Most of those pop out of their spots. These bunkers are so perfect out here. But that, you're right, there is some bad breaks. But if this was just a Sunday occurrence of bad breaks off the tee, I think we could really point to it. But this was a series of bad driving. Let's go back to Saturday night. He should have been in the final group on Saturday night with Cashmere. Right? With Cashmere Keith, he should have been solo second at 9 under. He flared his drive 60 yards right of his target Saturday night on 18 into the trees, up against the trunk, couldn't make par, makes bogey, falls down into the penultimate group with Peter Malnati. That might have been a good thing the way the final group played, retrospectively speaking. And on 12, it's crazy because him and Julian went back to the bag like 4 or 5 times. That conversation was intense. I was standing behind the green waiting for that and couldn't figure out, you know, that conversation was, do we have enough, blah, 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 yada, yada. At the end of the day, it's a hard guess. And then they guessed again wrong on 13 because that ball was 30 yards, 25 yards short of the target on 13.
That might have been a miss hit though too, eh, Mark?
Yeah, true. Yeah. True. I'm trying. I know. At that point, I think he was, to Bob's point, part of being his caddy for Julian Trudeau is being psychiatrist. And that's not a hit on Mac, by the way. That's half the PGA Tour or more. So that he's not alone in that. And I think that's maybe what was going on there, Bob, on 13 after the fact at 12.
Yeah, he was going pin seeking too, trying to chase that tucked right pin. But hey, overall, Mackenzie Hughes, it's his best finish of the season. It's a T3 and you mentioned this a little earlier, Bob, to look ahead now to the Masters, where Mackenzie Hughes needs to get inside the top 50 in the official world golf ranking to earn his way to make it 5 Canadians at the Masters. That would be a record, by the way. How awesome would that be? Mackenzie Hughes went from 79 to 63 in the world rankings, and now he has some work to do this week as well.
I will correct you there. It would equal the record. Oh. There was back in, we've did a little deep digging, and we've had 5 once before back in, I believe it's 1961.
Okay.
I don't remember that one.
Right.
I'm trying to remember who that was.
I'm the only one who was alive, and I was only just alive, so.
But no, in all seriousness, no. So for Mackenzie Hughes, goes from 79th to 63rd, and We don't know if he finishes in the top four or top three this week, if he'll officially get in. But, Bob, what we do know, a win this week will get him in for sure. But for Mac, he has to be feeling good about his game, and he's played well in pressure before. We think back that 2020 when he made that gnarly putt, to put it in his words, to make the Tour Championship on those greasy, I think it was gnarly or greasy, one of those two words he used to earn his way into the Tour Championship that week. This guy loves thriving under pressure. So how would you assess Mac's chances, Bob, to at least get in contention again this week?
Look, if he can finish third by going basically dead last and driving the ball, then I think Ollie, if he can straighten that part of his game out 10%, 15%, then it would be, it's very realistic, I think. And, you know, he's the type of guy who, if you look back at his wins, they've sort of come after he's been sort of nothing, 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 boom, all of a sudden something pops out. And so this will be great for him to try and pull through. He said last week at the Players' Championship that was kind of his goal at the moment. And again, Graham Dillette was talking to Julian Trudeau, who was his caddy back in the day. And Julian says, yeah, this guy's really on the verge of something. So, you know, players know and caddies know when their players are playing well, when they've got sort of things lining up. And so maybe this week will be the week for Mac.
Bob, do we know anything about this golf course in Houston? Because, like, normally I don't have to really do any prep when I'm working for the PGA Tour. Like, never. We've been doing all of this so long. I rarely have to do any prep. I've never been to this golf course. I've never worked this tournament before. I'm going to be hosting a feature group coverage this week for PGA Tour Live. I have no idea what type of game you need to play well here. I've got so much reading to do. And, like, is he going to have to drive it well here like he does at Valspar, or do they have wiggle room, do you know?
You know, I'm like you. I haven't actually done the deep dive on it. It's always when you say you get a new golf course, and most of the time you kind of know what's going on, but we'll have to see. I'm going to be Memorial Park Golf Course, and that's the one, but I don't really know a lot about it.
Well, 18 holes, we know that. Some par fives, some par threes.
It's a good starting point.
I know one thing, boys. Scotty Scheffler's playing. That's all you need to know.
And yeah. I'm going to tell you guys, because we're going to take a deep dive into this on Wednesday as we preview, he's going to be on my team this week. I'm going to make solo history.
Three Scotty Schefflers, we'll all be making two picks this week.
And the wild thing about this, and I know we'll really talk about this a lot on Wednesday, his odds right now are plus 300. 3-1. 3-1. Professional golf tournament. 3-1 for Scotty Scheffler.
I think by the time we get to Augusta, we might see a similar number even in that field. We might see something. I don't think you're going to see higher than 5-1. It's going to be between 3-1 or 5-1 for him by the time we pull up Monday in Augusta. That's my
wild
guess.
And 5-1 right now, actually, at the Masters as we speak, and another win that could go a long way. Okay, I want to hear from Mackenzie Hughes after the win. Let's hear now from Mackenzie Hughes after his T3 finish at the Valspar.
I really hadn't putted well this year, up to my standards to this point. You know, losing strokes last week at the Players. I think I lost 3.5 strokes putting at the Players. So, like, if I had putted this good last week, I would have had a chance to win probably, but it's just amazing. You know, you kind of, you're still waiting to put it all together, to put all those pieces together, and unfortunately I didn't drive it. I drove it great last week, and I just didn't quite drive it as well this week, and you know, that made it a little bit more difficult. But you know, with my putting, I kind of went a little more feel, a little more no line. I've been kind of using the line a little bit this year, and I went no line and just tried to free it up a little bit, and yeah, felt really good out there. So that was nice to see some putts go in and kind of get some confidence back. Today, I obviously had, you know, I teed off with the intent that I, you know, I could hoist the trophy, and I was playing well enough to do that. Unfortunately, it didn't happen for me, but you need to keep putting yourself there, you know, and have continuous chances for it to happen. I mean, there are guys that put themselves there a lot consistently, and you know, it's hard to win. I mean, Scottie Scheffler last year, I mean, look how many times he was right there, right, and he won a couple times, right, you know? I mean, big tournaments, but, like, it's just really hard to win. I mean, I played today with the guy who had an incredible day. Peter would have been really hard to beat, yeah, even if I had, you know, a couple more great swings down the stretch. I mean, he would have been very, very hard to beat. So it was Peter's day, and he played fantastic.
love the honesty there from Mackenzie Hughes and the crying baby there in the background. Anyway, no comment on that. Mackenzie Hughes, T3 finish at the Valspar. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we'll discuss Peter Malnati's win, his first win since 2015, and Marco's one-on-one with the latest winner on the PGA Tour. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max, only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC, Scully, Weeks, and Zacchino. So Mackenzie Hughes comes up short at the Valspar Championship at T3, but Peter Malnati gets it done. And this year has been the year of the long shot on the PGA Tour, minus Scottie Scheffler, who won back-to-back weeks. Now, Peter Malnati's pre-tournament odds on FanDuel to win the Valspar Championship, oh, they were just 350-1. So talk about long shots there, Peter Malnati. And Bob, this is just one of the good guys on the PGA Tour in terms of respect level. Am I right with that?
One of the nicest guys you'll ever want to meet out there. Graham Dillette actually told me the greatest line, and this is before yesterday. This is a while back. He said, when I started meeting Peter Malnati, he was so nice I thought it was fake. But then you realize it's actually, he's just the nicest human being you could ever meet. And so I think the guys on tour and the people associated with the PGA Tour, the caddies, people like Mark, you know, they know how nice he is. And I think this was a hugely popular win just because of the guy he is. And don't forget where he was on Monday. He was in a Tiger Woods condo in the Bahamas talking with Yasser Al Ramayan, because he is one of the guys on the Player Advisory Council, one of the leaders on that group. So talk about a busy week for this guy and a powerful week, and nice to see him with the trophy at the end of it.
Nice to see him with the trophy too. Mark, you were there, you're on location walking. The body English by Peter Malnati at times was pretty funny in terms of not what he thought weren't good shots or good putts, and they still went in or went close to the hole for that matter in terms of approach shots. How impressed were you by Peter Malnati's gumption, we'll call it that, down the stretch?
I love when these guys like wear their emotions on their sleeve. The putt on 12, I've never seen anything like it in my life. The putt on 12, I'm calling it, and I stopped watching the ball. I said, he hates it. He's disgusted in the stroke, and it goes in. It was unbelievable. And that happened a couple of times with just approach shots, etc. But what a popular victory, to Bob's point. You know, sometimes nice guys get her done, and this is one of those times. And I walked a lot with Ashley, his wife, this week. She walked every step with him the whole week. The family was there. You saw it at the end. He mentioned it, big commitment by everybody involved so that he can do what he does. So, I mean, yes, we're pulling for Mac. Everybody wanted to see a Canadian victory from north of the border. There was tons of Canadians on the ground pulling for Mac. But you cannot do anything but be happy and celebrate this win if you're a fan of the PGA Tour and golf, because he's such a nice guy and it's such a great family, Peter Malnati.
And his first win since 2015 for Peter Malnati on a day where there were six different leaders or co-leaders on the day. So Peter Malnati in a pressure-packed situation certainly got it done, which was fun to see. His first win in 3,058 days for Peter Malnati. Okay, we're going super long in this segment. So when we come back here on GTC, we'll hear Mark's interview with Peter Malnati and discuss some of the other notables at the Valspar Championship. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by TaylorMade was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit WeatherTech.ca.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully, Weeks, and Zacchino here. Well, last Monday, to Bob's point in our last segment, Peter Malnati was with Tiger Woods, with Yasser Al-Rumayyan, talking about what could be next for the PGA Tour, potentially. And I don't think he could have seen 6 days later holding a trophy, winning for the first time in 3,000 days on the PGA Tour. Well, shortly after tapping in and emotionally winning for the second time in his PGA Tour career, Peter Malnati went one-on-one with Mark.
Peter, sorry to interrupt this moment with your son. That's awesome, man. Congratulations, first of all. So much fun walking with you the last couple days. Before we talk golf, let's just talk emotion, man. What's it feel? You're pouring it out on the 18th green. I said sometimes good guys do finish first, and that's what we love to see out there.
Man, yeah, I think about all this now, all the, like, this is an amazing life to play golf on the PGA Tour, and, like, we're spoiled in every single way. But there's also a lot of sacrifice that goes into this, especially for my family. Like, this is my dream job, and they do so much to support me. And, you know, you just never know, like, when you're going to have that moment. And, you know, to have that moment felt pretty amazing.
It's awesome. It validates the hard work. It validates the commitment from the family. I think your wife did more steps than you and I combined this week. She was out there for the whole time. Okay, let's talk golf. What happened at the turn? I thought you fought hard on the front. It was hard to get momentum up there. And then you hit a switch when we hit 10.
Yeah, you know, I honestly made some decent swings out there. I really thought on the front nine, like, I bogeyed four, but I really hit it pretty close to the tee shot I wanted. I definitely hit the par putt I wanted. I felt good about my game. It wasn't ever that it felt too far off. And so I just really wanted to keep doing what I was doing. And, you know, it was really nice on the back nine to stuff those wedges in to get the back nine started. Because, you know, you're already at that point, you know, not thinking about winning the tournament, but definitely know when you're up there, you have some nerves going. And so to stuff those wedges in, get some birdies, felt amazing. And then, yeah, from there, you know, it was after the first three holes of the back nine, it was full on, you know, just everything I had to stay focused in the moment on each shot and do that. And that was my goal, is to just keep giving my best effort on every shot. And I was nervous over a lot of them, but, you know, obviously it was, came away with an amazing result.
Incredible swing at 17 to stay aggressive and commit to that and then make it a huge turning point. Before we let you celebrate with your family, because I don't want you to keep you from them any longer, can you let us in of your... What was the thought? I saw the emotion come out before you tapped in. You were on 18. You were having a hard time holding it back. What were you thinking about when you were sitting over that 25-footer? What went through the brain?
Again, at that point, you know, I knew that I pretty much was going to win the tournament. And I said, you know what, the job's not over yet. Finish it. Finish it. And give one more shot here, your absolute best effort. And I actually thought I made it. It didn't go in, but it... It left the next one where I could putt it with tears in my eyes and still make it. So that was good.
Congratulations. Go celebrate with the loved ones. Thanks. It was so fun to watch you this weekend.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Awesome stuff there, Mark. And those interviews are fun to do for sure when you can see just the outpouring of emotion come out. And sometimes we see athletes now coming up, perhaps a little younger, who are just so media trained that they're almost robotic after they win. But this is a real humanizing moment, wasn't it? You know, last time Peter Malnati won, his young kids weren't in the picture, and to have his two young children there, I mean, I really enjoyed that interview. And so what was it like just being there in person talking to him?
Yeah, I mean, again, how can you not cheer for it? The scene was beautiful with the kids and his mom and his wife and so many other players stuck around to congratulate Peter. To Bob's point, how well-liked he is by everybody out there. There, you could tell by the people waiting to congratulate him and his family. No one really left before they got a chance to see Peter, which was so cool. You know, what he mentioned in that interview, you know, we're so lucky to be able to do this for a living. We're so lucky to play on the PGA Tour and to have he puts it in perspective, you know. And unfortunately, the last 2 years, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters have really kind of thrown everything for a loop, right? We're You know, we're now handing out, you know, $600 million, $500 million to guys who hit a white golf ball around a big green field. It's ridiculous. And then they have the audacity to whine about it. So when you have an interview with Peter Malnati, who, you know, is happy that he's not in the AHL, you know, happy he's not in the AHL. And then you put that against the $500 million contract at the Harlem Globetrotters. You go, this is insane. How did we get here? How did we get here? You know what I mean? And I mean, good on Peter. Well done. I hope we see more of that from more guys like Peter the rest of the way.
Well, it was a feel-good victory there. Peter Malnati gets it done on the PGA Tour for the first time since 2015. Now, looking down the leaderboard at the Valspar Championship, a familiar name coming in second place, and that is one Cameron Young. And we've said this many times before. In fact, we said this six times prior to this show. Cameron Young, his seventh runner-up finish on the PGA Tour, the most of any player in the last 40 years without a win. That stat coming from the guru himself, Justin Ray. Before we chat about Cameron Young, let's hear from Cameron Young shortly after he three-putted the 18th and 72nd hole.
I think I kept myself in it mentally really well today. I hit a couple shots I was really proud of late. Those two par threes on the back both kind of can bite you. And I kind of let 15 get me yesterday in a similar situation, similar wind and everything. So I was proud of that shot, just making sure it didn't bite me. But I think I handled, you know, my own thoughts really well. And for me, that's a big win regardless of outcome.
I would say some interesting comments there from Cameron Young, who had a pretty darn good chance to win this golf tournament. Bob, for you, another runner-up finish for Cameron Young. You've got to think that the scar tissue is building big time for this guy, no?
Yeah, I think that I saw a comment on social media, and I was just trying to find it to see who posted it, but I thought it was perfect. And it was that someone's got to teach Cameron Young how to run through the tape, you know, and that goes back to my running side of me as well. But you've got to finish strong. You've got to try and finish things off in style. And I don't think he was able to really do that down the stretch this time. It's not that he's not trying. We know that. It's not that he doesn't know how to win. He's won in previous editions of his career. But I think this time these start to add up. Like you said, they start to add up in terms of scar tissue. They start to add up where you start to question yourself coming down the stretch, perhaps, or maybe you're trying to find a different way to get the job done. Maybe you play defense, maybe you play super aggressive. You know, there's just no way to sort of figure it out until you've done it. I'm sure he'll do it at some point. He's just too good a player not to get that win, and it's going to be pretty satisfying when he does. But it's kind of heartbreaking, to be perfectly honest with you, to watch what's been going on here.
So that's perfect segue, Bob, because my question for you and Adam, which I was wondering where you would go with this, because I wish I saw who tweeted it out last night, but someone tweeted out the comparisons between Cameron Young and David Duval. Now, David Duval had, I believe, 7 second place finishes before he ran through the tape. In 1997 for his first PGA Tour victory. And then we all know what happened to Dave Duval. He went to number one in the world, won an Open Championship, won a dozen PGA Tour events, yada, yada, yada. So knowing what we've seen from Cameron Young, do you think Cameron Young has a better opportunity of going a path of a Dave Duval that once the seal's off, we could see a bunch, including a major, and possibly somewhere inside the top 5 in the world? Or are we getting so much scar tissue that this is going to be more of a Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia? Now, they won. I'm not saying they didn't win, but we could be out here for 15 years before we see anything of significance, if ever. I'll go to both of you with that question.
Take it, Bob.
You know, I think the David Duval Duval one is probably appropriate. I mean, you can go back and look at, I think it was Brett Quigley, who had over 400 tournament starts without getting a win and came close so many times. And Dennis, anyway, there's a lots of people who've played long careers without getting a win. I just think that the Cam is too good. He's, you know, he's played on teams and he's done everything that a winner would do without getting it done. So I think he'll find a way. And I think he'll, as you said, once he gets the door open, I think he's going to run through it lots of times and just kind of keep winning. And there's no reason to think that he can't win a major championship because he hits it long. He's a pretty decent short game player one from time to time. I just think there's a time that's going to happen for him, and it could be this week or it could be next year. We'll never know, but I think he's going to get it done.
And he's certainly trying different things, too. We've seen a revolving door of caddies for Cameron Young, so trying to switch up the mojo, if you will. Mark, to your point, I do think he is going to win, and when he does, perhaps not in bunches, but hey, he's got to win at some point for sure. You know, a guy who's on the 2022 U.S. President's Cup team, runner-up finish at the Open Championship that same summer to one Cameron Smith as well. I was a little concerned about the three putt on the 18th hole, leaving that first putt 15 feet short when you sort of knew you had to at least give it a chance. But anyway, Cameron Young, now 7 runner-up finishes on the PGA Tour. When we come back here on GTC, PGA Tour Americas is now up and running, and the first ever winner on PGA Tour Americas, Clay Fagler, going to join us right here on GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Adam Scully, Mark Skeen, Bob Weeks, all in studio here. Well, over the weekend, PGA Tour Americas held its first event, the Bupa Championship at Tulum, and the winner of the event, Clay Fagler, now joins us here on GTC. Clay, welcome to the show, my friend. Congratulations on the win.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Okay, so let's get right to it. 4-hole playoff to get the dub. What was the entire experience like for you on Sunday?
Yeah, I just think the whole day was a grind. Obviously, we're playing a very tough golf course at Tulum Country Club. And for me to go another 4 holes in the playoff was just adding more tiredness to the whole week. And it was a lot of stuff was happening during the playoff, a couple bogeys and stuff to keep going to the next. But all in all, the experience and, you know, being there for a week was well worth it.
What's the feeling on the circuit this year with the changeover from the two separate Latino America and Canada now onto the PGA Tour Americas? And of course, now you have the distinction of being the first ever winner on this new tour. But overall, from the guys that you talk to and you're playing with, what is the feeling like with the changeover?
Well, I think obviously before it was obviously two different tours with, you know, Latin America and Canada. If you finish inside the top 10, you had basically status to go to the final stage. Obviously, you know, 1 through 5, you know, 1 got Corn Ferry card, and then 2 through 5 obviously had some starts on Corn Ferry. But I think the overall feeling is, I think it's a good thing to have, you know, one tour. It's also brand new, so quite frankly we're kind of getting used to the new feel of this tour. Personally, I think it's a good thing to have two tours all together and, you know, have one common goal and have one common tour to get your Corn Ferry card. So I think the overall feel, I think a lot of people do like it. It's just obviously a change from what we had in the previous years.
We're in conversation here with Clay Fagler, who became the first winner on PGA Tour Americas, and you did it in a four-hole playoff. But at the beginning of the week, you actually Monday qualified to get into this tournament. So in terms of freedom, did that free you up after Monday qualifying to have a good week?
Yeah, I think. You know, obviously, I didn't. So I played nine holes on Sunday to kind of understand the golf course a little bit, and then played the Monday Q on Monday. Just felt like all I really needed was an opportunity just to play an event. I've played a few Mondays before, and I missed out in playoffs too, a couple playoffs. So I just felt like, you know, it's kind of fate that, you know, I'd make the Monday on a qualifier and then win the tournament on a ball, win the tournament on a playoff. Pretty crazy.
It is pretty crazy to get through there. So how do you now approach the next few weeks? Obviously, life's changed a little bit. I'm assuming you have a little more access and fewer Monday qualifyings coming up.
Yeah, so this week is Guadalajara, so I'll be going down there tomorrow. But yeah, it gives me more freedom on planning my schedule. You know, obviously, for these first six events, you need to be top 60 in order to go to Canada. So with this win, I think I'm pretty much solidified to go to Canada, you know, in the summer. But with winning, you know, obviously opens a lot of doors, you know, with this schedule. I can pick and choose where to go, and obviously I have a place to play now. So it's been a overwhelming emotions the last, you know, day, you know, the last, you know, 12 hours.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you mentioned overcoming, you know, lots of emotion for sure. When you get the victory, when you finish any media obligations, you get to pull out your phone for the first time. What was the reaction like from friends, family, when you looked at your phone for the first time?
Yeah, I just think it's an awesome feeling when you look at your phone and you have obviously a lot of tech and a lot of support from people, and obviously a lot of people on social media reaching out. I just think it's so cool to, you know, have that support. And but yeah, I was pretty tired after everything, playing, you know, 95 holes of competition this week, you know, with the Monday Q, and then obviously the 72 holes, and then, you know, another four for the playoff. So just, you know, to decompress and look at my phone and obviously text back the people that have reached out, you know, has been a lot, but at the same time, it was very much appreciated from my side.
How much credit to this win do you give to your caddy? Because I understand she's a little bit more than a caddy in your life.
Yeah, so she's my girlfriend. We've been seeing each other for a while now. And, yeah, I just think having someone that you're familiar with out there, and it's just not all golf, too. I think she provides a different perspective for me. When I'm off the golf course, I really don't talk about golf. You know, that's kind of my job. I'm out there, you know, battling out, grinding out for that, you know, for this tournament or any tournament. And then when I'm off the golf course, you know, having her around and on and off the golf course keeps it light, joke around, have some laughs. It's just great.
That's awesome, man. Now, before we wrap up, you're joining us from the Cancun airport, and you're getting ready to play again this week. So tell our audience what's next for the next couple of days for you. You fly, you're going to do some practice, some working out. What's next for you for the next couple of days as you lead up into the next tournament?
Yeah, so obviously the tournament starts Thursday, so I'll get there Tuesday, do a little bit of practicing, probably play in a pro-am. And then just kind of get acclimated to the golf course. That's pretty much it. You know, it's very simple. I think for me, it's just my game plan is obviously, you know, get there safely, you know, do some practicing. Obviously, Guadalajara is at elevation, so I have to get acclimated to that a little bit with how far the ball's flying and all that stuff. But that's basically kind of the preparation that comes into these tournaments for me. It's just getting to know the golf course, getting to know, you know, what the right play is, what the misses are, and kind of just go from there.
Well, with the win, you become an exempt member on PGA Tour Americas for the rest of the 2024 season and through the Latin America swing of 2025, earn 500 points. You're number one on the Fortinet Cup. How does that sound to you?
Sounds pretty good.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Safe travels. And we have a tradition here when we've had winners on PGA Tour Canada back last year that whenever they won, they would join us the next day on radio. So how about, Clay, we make this a tradition and you come on again later this year when you get another victory. How do you like that?
Sounds good. Will do. Thanks for having me on today. It's been awesome talking to you guys.
Awesome. That is Clay Fagler, who is the first winner on PGA Tour Americas. Gents, I love these stories where we get to have winners. Back it was PGA Tour Canada, now PGA Tour Americas, and see them go on to have success. Because, Bob, it was just September of 2022 when Jake Knapp came on our show after winning on PGA Tour Canada, and now he's a winner on the PGA Tour. It's a pretty cool thing, isn't it?
Clay Fagler is a pretty good story, too. He's went to Pepperdine, Division One winner. He actually sunk the winning putt that secured the Division One title for them. He's got a lot of chops. So we know some other people who've come through Pepperdine, like Sahith Tigala. But so I'm thinking big things for him coming forward.
Big things for him going forward. And we'll have the winner on PGA Tour Americas on our show every week that there's a tournament. So looking forward to sharing these stories on a week to week basis. Well, that wraps up hour one here on GTC. When hour two kicks off, we'll discuss Nelly Korda back on top of the world rankings at world number one. And I'm going to ask Mark and Bob the question, how important is Nelly Korda's success to American women's golf? Because it's been a bit of a tough time for the LPGA Tour in terms of Americans having success. We'll discuss that. CPKC Women's Open Tournament Director Ryan Paul going to join the show too, and we'll have winners, weird, and what. All that and more. Hour two kicks off in a couple minutes.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to Hour 1 of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully, Weeks, and Zacchino here. Hour two, the back nine here on GTC. Coming up in hour two, winners, weird, and what. We'll hear from CPKC Women's Open Tournament Director Ryan Paul on the 2025 CPKC Women's Open coming to Mississauga Golf and Country Club. Some great history there and a little preview of this year's event, which is taking place in Calgary. Mark?
I got it wrong. Remember, Bob said, I'd like to bet last week, I guess, TPC Toronto. And Bob said, I'll bet you, because he knew. So I'm glad I didn't take that action. I'm glad I backed off.
Yeah, didn't have any FanDuel odds on that to go back and forth with. But speaking of the LPGA Tour, a big winner over the weekend at the Fir Hill Sarepoc Championship, and that's Nelly Korda, who wins already for the second time this season. Now, she took a lot of time off, as did the LPGA Tour, but Nelly Korda, it was upwards 6 or 7 weeks without playing any competitive golf, including 3 of those weeks where she didn't touch a golf club. So talk about week breaks during a season. Nelly Korda wins in a playoff as well. Before we discuss Nelly Korda and her success, let's hear from the latest winner on the LPGA Tour.
I just kind of stayed in my own bubble. for majority of the four rounds. I mean, I was kind of on the cut line after round one at one over, and I just told myself, like, there's so much golf to be played. The weekend's going to be tough, and just to stay in my own little bubble and to kind of continuously chip at it. Yeah, and I think I did. I didn't get too ahead of myself at all throughout the 72 holes and 73 holes. Yeah, I think that's what I did best around here because it gets tough. I mean, the conditions are tough. The greens are bouncy. I'm not used to this kind of grass. And, yeah, I just honestly, it's very boring, but I stayed in my own little bubble.
She may call it boring, but it's certainly efficient as Nelly Korda back to world number one. Bob, did you see some of the video of the conditions during the third round? The wind, it was crazy.
It was pretty hard to play golf on that. I was actually thinking that they might call it just because I've never, you know, you've seen the odd time a wind call, usually at the Open Championship, but it was howling in there. And some of the gusts, I can't remember what they said on the broadcast, but some of the gusts were ridiculous in terms of how strong they were. So it makes it pretty tough. And obviously, patience is a key. And that's, I think, what Nelly was saying there in certain cases, not that it was just that windy day, but the whole tournament, she was just trying to stay within her own little bubble, even if that bubble was trying to blow away.
And bogeys three of her last four holes to go into the playoff, but she won her 10th career LPGA Tour victory for Nelly Korda, which is huge. Now, when you look at American golf as a whole in the women's game, you know, we may think of Lexi Thompson, who has 11 career LPGA Tour victories. Nelly Korda has 10. Lexi's last victory came in 2019, and last season she had more missed cuts than top 10s. So clearly she's been struggling with her game. Mark, I'll go to you first. How much does American women's golf need Nelly Korda to succeed and be on top of the world rankings? Because there are a lot of different countries represented in the LPGA game. Of course, us, we think of Brooke Henderson all the time, mm-hmm. but in terms of top American golf, there hasn't been that much of it on the LPGA Tour.
Well, I'm going to say with the exception of Brooke Henderson, because she is kind of almost the girl next door American girl in a way, even though she's our girl, America has embraced her. Blonde hair, blue eyes, just a lovely personality, camera friendly, media friendly. America loves that. So let's park Brooke to the curb for a second. Whether we like it or not, America likes to cheer for their own, and tours and the game have a hard time when the faces of a sport are not American. Whether we like that or not, that's just the reality of the situation. So I would say not only does America golf need Nelly Korda, I think the LPGA Tour guys need Nelly Korda even more so than America needs Nelly Korda. Because when Nelly Korda is at the face of that tour, America is more engaged. And when America is more engaged, the LPGA Tour has more muscle, more flexibility, more input on their media partners, on their corporate sponsors, on driving revenue numbers and eyeballs. And LPGA and the women's game is in a better place. Now, is this a shame? I'm not saying this like it's a good thing. I wish it wasn't this way. I wish that the general population was simply looking at this and just watching world-class players play world-class golf. But that's just, unfortunately, not the way it works. So, in my opinion, the game, the ladies' game, needs a Nelly Korda. And guys, she's fun to watch too. And I know a lot of the women out there that played would love to see golf courses set up for the Nelly Kordas to rise to the top. She hits it so bloody far, it's ridiculous. You saw her, was it last year in Vegas she played, guys, or the year before in Vegas, bombing it like 300, 310. I mean, week in, week out, there's a lot of players on the LPGA Tour that would like to see that golf course stretch 300-400 yards, and they just don't do it because they eliminate half the field if they do. But if they did, you'd see Nelly Korda win a lot more golf tournaments.
And another winner for Team TaylorMade as well, Nelly Korda, using the QI10 line of drivers and fairway woods. Bob, same question to you. How much does the LPGA Tour and American Golf as a whole need Nelly Korda to, whether it stay at the top of the world rankings or just have success overall throughout this year?
I think it's important in that she is a figurehead, much like Brooke is in Canada and also around the world. I think they are marquee players. I think in the LPGA Tour, there's not as much name brand recognition as there might be on the PGA Tour. You know, sort of the top 10 players. I'm actually surprised that one player, like if I said to you guys, listen, I got a guy who won the Masters and the U.S. Open last year. Do you think he would be a notable player at the start of this season? Yeah, probably. But Lilia Vu did that. She won the Chevron Championship and then the Open Championship, and she really doesn't get the recognition that she deserves. So I think it has to be, it's tough to say, but you have to really kind of dive deep and stay around a long time and have some marketable assets like Nelly does. You know, I think even the whole thing with her sister Jessica, that was a big part of it. But I think right now that she's important. I think there's a lot of them that are important to golf. I think Brooke Henderson is important. I think Lilia Vu is going to be more important going into this year. So it's nice to see a good mix of players from all over the world, though. I think one of the strengths of the LPGA Tour is just how international it is. And whether people know all the players intimately or not, I think it is kind of interesting to see all the different countries and, A, players from those countries and when they travel to those countries.
Well, Nelly Korda is the first American player to win twice in an LPGA season before April 1st since Stacey Lewis. And that came 11 years ago now.
Jeez,
so Stacey Lewis was the captain of the Solheim Cup team for the U.S. back in October. Good for Nelly Korda. Now 10 career LPGA Tour victories. Now, Mark, what?
Mrs. Golf Talk Canada, as always, that's her favorite golf swing in the world, Nelly Korda. She'd rather watch Nelly Korda hit a golf ball than anybody else. And I said, hon, she's the second best swing. Yours is number one. You got to pump them up, Adam, when they're learning at this age.
And I know Mrs. Golf Talk Canada had some golf lessons recently. I think we'll have to take a deep dive.
We need a 2-hour deep dive on that mess right now.
Okay.
Let me tell you.
Well, yeah. So Wednesday, 10 a.m. to noon, 2 hours on Mrs. Golf Talk Canada, grinding on the ring. No, we'll just definitely chat about that. But last Wednesday, we previewed the LPGA tournament, the Fur Hill Sari Pack Championship, and spoke about two Canadians who have had success so far on the LPGA Tour this season, Brooke Henderson and Savannah Grual, who finished T4 in her second career LPGA Tour start. Well, someone we left out was leading the tournament after day one. That's Mortimer LeBlanc. And Bob, I know she didn't have the rest of the tournament she wanted to, but this is a cool story overall because Mortimer LeBlanc left the game and now she is back playing competitively and playing very well.
She is. She actually retired from professional golf and then a couple of years ago decided she was going to come back. She's always had lots of games. She's been a Canadian amateur champion. She was a NCAA champion with Purdue. You know, she's always been that person. She's always been a little, she's been quite shy. And so I think when she gets in the limelight, she's not comfortable a lot of times. I think she's matured enough now. That was in her early days. I think she's matured enough now that she can handle everything and she's got in a good place in her life from what I hear. So it's nice to see her playing well. It would be nice to see her finish off four rounds and maybe get a win or just play some nice consistent golf because she does have the talent to do that.
And speaking of talent, we have Brooke Henderson who finished T27. And that's her worst finish of the season, but still, it's a T27 finish, which is still a good finish on the LPGA Tour. Brooke Henderson, a final round 74. And Mark, we're heading into a very busy stretch here on the LPGA Tour. So for Brooke Henderson, she's not going to play 2 weeks and then take a month off like that's what just happened earlier in the year. So you've got to think for Brooke now, she's going to carry some momentum of playing good golf to start this season into a busy stretch here for the LPGA Tour, including a major, which is the week after the Masters.
And historically speaking, you know, time off for Brooke is, you know, with the exception of last year, which is a weird one, she took all this time off, switched golf clubs, joined Team TaylorMade, goes out and wins her first event, right? With the exception of that moment in time, I think historically speaking, time off has not been great for Brooke. She likes to play a lot of golf. So especially when I think she's checking the boxes, which I think she's doing this year. So I expect this is going to be a really good stretch for Brooke. I know she likes to play a lot of golf. We're going to play a lot. She's going to have big events, including a major, to your point, Adam. I got to think, what, a win coming in the next month and a half?
I wouldn't be surprised to see that for sure for Brooke Henderson. That would definitely, that would be awesome. And she is the all-time winningest Canadian golfer in professional golf. And one of those wins, we remember, came a couple of years ago at the CPKC Women's Open. And I know, Bob, you were on location for that one. And since then, the CPKC Women's Open has seen a lot of success. In fact, back-to-back years of being the LPGA's Tournament of the Year. When we come back here on GTC, CPKC Women's Open Tournament Director Ryan Paul going to join the show. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit cobblebeach.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully Weeks and Zucchino here. Well, the CPKC Women's Open has been the LPGA's Tournament of the Year for back-to-back years, which is an incredible feat. Bob, you've been on location for the past couple of these CPKC Women's Open. What's impressed you about being on the grounds covering that tournament?
Compared to, and I haven't been to a ton of other LPGA Tour events over my career, but I have been to some, and this is a much bigger stage, a much bigger event, more fans. There's actually been more fans at the CPKC Women's Open in the last seven or eight that I've been to than I've seen at major championships. And when you talk to the players, they say this has a feel like a major championship. The build-out, the stands where the fans are and the corporate tents are, it's just so much bigger and so much louder, and there's just so many more people there than you see at, I would say, 90% of every other event on the LPGA Tour schedule.
Which is certainly awesome to see. A great field, a great vibe last year at Shaughnessy. And while we were on the air last Wednesday, Bob, you had a teaser out that there was an announcement coming. Well, just after we went off the air, Mississauga Golf and Country Club named the host of the 2025 CPKC Women's Open for a full discussion and preview of not only that event, but this year's event in Calgary. I caught up with CPKC Women's Open Tournament Director Ryan Paul. Now joining us, good friend of the show, Ryan Paul, for this very exciting news about the CPKC Women's Open. Ryan, what makes Mississauga Golf and Country Club a great host for the 2025 CPKC Women's Open?
Yeah, and thanks for having me on, Adam. We're really excited about Mississauga for 2025. It checks all the boxes, and for us to be back in Ontario is great. To be in the GTA for the first time since 2019, we're at Magna, and really south of the 401 for the first time since like the 90s when we were at Glen Abbey is awesome. And really to bring the women's game to the GTA again, we'll drive a lot of crowd, but Mississauga as a facility is really perfect for this event. It's beautiful. It's majestic. It's got some exciting holes. It's going to be a great championship course for us. And then the property itself has so much room for all the infrastructure that we need to build on the golf course that you guys have seen over the past few years. And then operationally for the TV compounds, their parking lot is massive. So it really has everything that we need to run a successful event. And most importantly, a supportive membership who's excited to be hosting, and the city of Mississauga and Visit Mississauga that's been behind us since the beginning. So it's been great.
Now, how long has this been in the works, talks with Mississauga?
And we usually we're looking 2 to 3 years ahead as we're planning out future venues. So we've been talking with the city of Mississauga for quite some time on what a professional championship looks like in the city of Mississauga, and then talking with a lot of those clubs in Mississauga, and certainly Mississauga Golf and Country Club for the better part of last year in what this event could be. And we even had site visits back into pre-pandemic, trying to figure out how to make it work. So it's been a long time coming, and really excited that yesterday we were finally able to officially announce.
Now, the past couple of years, we've seen some great fields at the CPKC Women's Open. And you spoke about this a little bit, but expand if you don't mind. You're back in the GTA for the third time since 2001. Just how exciting is it for that, for the best on the LPGA Tour to be here in a huge market in the Greater Toronto Area?
Yeah, it's the few messages that we've got already since announcing, it's really exciting, and to be in the GTA and Toronto that close to downtown is certainly exciting. I know there are going to be a lot of players going to the CN Tower and visiting Toronto and all the great attractions that are there. And really, from the way that the 2025 schedule is shaping up as well, when you look at before and ahead, there would be a week off before our event. So hopefully we can see some players come in, spend some time in Toronto and Mississauga before the event. And then the week after is the new FM Global Championship in Boston. So a nice little trip from Toronto to Boston with a swing of two great championships.
Oh, that's amazing to hear. And speaking of amazing, there is a great cause involved here. The CPKC Has Heart campaign. Tell our audience a little about that.
Yeah, and this is really the core pillar for CPKC, our title sponsor of title sponsoring our event, and really the driver as to why we bring this championship across the country is to make a positive impact in all Canadian markets, and really driving that with a substantial donation to local children's hospitals in the markets that we play. We haven't named a beneficiary yet for 2025, but since 2014, when CPKC has been the title sponsor, over $20 million has been raised for local children's hospitals across Canada, and to be back in the GTA and to make a substantial donation again will be great. We were just about $3.5 million was raised for the BC Children's Hospital and hospitals in the Vancouver area in 2023 when we were at Shaughnessy.
Oh, that is so amazing to hear. So that's 2025, but how about a little later this year, July 23rd to 28th at Earl Grey Golf Club in Calgary? I understand you're in Calgary right now. How are early preparations going for that?
Well, today's preparations are maybe a little less than ideal. If I turn my computer around, you'd see a blizzard outside. So our site visit's been tampered a little bit with, but preparations have been going incredible. This golf club has been remarkable. The city of Calgary has been remarkable. We are near full registrations for volunteers already. That would be a tournament record for us. Our corporate sales have been through the roof. This is going to be record breaking for us this year, and the club has been nothing but supportive and excited, along with the whole community. Coming off back to back tournament of the years in 2023 and 2022, we're excited to announce in the coming months some new initiatives that we're going to be launching, and hopefully go for that three-peat.
Okay, going for the three-peat for the LPGA's Tournament of the Year. What's your secret, man? That's awesome to have that back-to-back years.
The secret, and really it's not so much a secret, but it's the partners that we have that are making that difference and really going above and beyond to make this tournament special. And when you look at some of those award-winning activations that we've been doing, CPKC certainly putting their fan zones and family zones all over the place, all the other public viewing structures, Level Wear with their caddy lounge, the Hilton Hotel that we had done in 2022, the list goes on and on, and we have a few more that we're in the works with now, and we're going to make it hard on the LPGA not to select us for a third time.
Yeah, absolutely. But just for you overall, for you, all the volunteers, the committee, et cetera, just what's the significance of being recognized in that amazing way back to back years by the LPGA?
It's amazing, and it goes back and to the volunteers, to the host clubs that we do, to the fans and the communities that we're not just coming in and running a quick golf tournament and then we're gone. We're making a difference in the community, certainly with the charities and those donations. And to share this award with everyone who's part of the event, from spectators to staff to fans and partners. It's really great, and it just helps us continue to build and want to be better and keep putting on great events.
Yeah, that's certainly awesome to hear. Now, before we wrap, yes, we're in March, but the tournament, this year's tournament, is in July. For anyone watching, listening from coast to coast, how do they find more information, tickets, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we have our full list of tickets on sale, still volunteer positions, like I mentioned. So you can find all of that at cpkcwomensopen.com.
Awesome, Ryan. Well, hey, it's an exciting time ahead here, the CPKC Women's Open, both in 2024 and the latest announcement in 2025. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome stuff there from Ryan Paul. Looking forward to this year's CPKC Women's Open in Calgary and then 2025 when it's coming to Mississauga. When we come back here on GTC, it's our favorite time of the show. It's Winners, Weird, and What, and it's coming up next.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Inside GTC, Scully, Weeks, and Zucchino. Before we get to Winners, Weird, and What, I just saw some breaking news online, and it's going to change a lot of things for us here on GTC. Mark, I understand that you have an appointment later today with a gym. Is that... Did I hear that right? Did I see that online, boys, right?
Who's Jim? It's not my bartender, Jim. Today is day one. I teased this last week. Today is hashtag day one. We are going to get in there. Now, I'm not coming out of the gates hard. A little 15 minutes of cardio and maybe 15 to 20 minutes something else. I signed up for that, you know, that golf focus program. I think his name is Joey D. I think he works with Kepka and DJ and those guys. So just, you can do these workouts in the gym, in your hotel room, wherever. So we're going to start, though, you know, nothing crazy. And I'm not going to, and if there's a day where I'm going to hit a golf ball, I'm not going anywhere near it. Because I hate the feeling of like, you know, I hate that gym feeling and then going to the golf course. I don't know how those guys do it. Now, we should bring up that just before I dropped this information off mic this morning, you asked me, Adam, if it was too early to drink wine. And I said, never. And Bob said, you can't drink all day unless you start in the morning. So there is two very different theories colliding here on day one. So,
I mean, yeah, we only have 25 minutes left in the show. And I have so many follow-up questions about the gym, and we're going to get a full recap of day one in the gym. My question to you before we get to 3-dub, Mark, Brooks Koepka, I think he still works with Joey D. He definitely did work with Joey D. Yep. The morning he won the 2017 U.S. Open, he bench pressed 225 pounds 15 times. Are we anywhere? Maybe do that. Maybe bench press 25 pounds 15 so times, like, where are we at?
I have no, there's nothing like that happening. I have only one goal for the first 2 weeks. Don't hurt myself and try to figure out what everything is in there. I don't know what, I know what a treadmill is, Bob.
I imagine you walking on the treadmill, sipping red wine at the same time. That's kind of my vision of what I have for you.
Saying this isn't so bad.
Right.
Okay. Well, looking forward to kicking off Wednesday's show with a full recap. If you can log what you do, maybe have a diary, Mark.
Okay.
That does help.
I will give you guys a full recap on what happens. Now, unfortunately, day one is going to happen in the evening. And my goal is to try to do this in the morning. But because we got GTC this morning, and because then I got to get up to the northeast side of the state and check into the World Golf Village because we're there for PGA Tour Live for 2 weeks, I'm not going to get to this day one until sometime in the evening. But I will give you guys a full recap on Wednesday.
I can just see it now at Augusta National, as after we shoot, GTC TV. We're back at the rental house, and the three of us just doing wind sprints and just seeing who can get out there. I mean, I know the viewers, the listeners, they would love to see that. Anyway, much more on Mark's fitness journey. Maybe we'll all compare and contrast what we've done in the gym on Wednesday's show at some point. We can have a little fun with that. Just an idea. Anyways, time for our favorite time of the show. I mean, that was our winner, weird and what right there. All that topic in itself. But let's start things off. Mark, the tea is yours this week, my friend.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Well, I don't know if you guys caught this, but at the Valspar, the caddies are allowed to put nicknames or anything they want on their bib instead of just the player's last name. And for me this week, hands down, the winner goes to Bobby McIntyre. Bob McIntyre on the caddy bib this week. For 4 days, the entire week, walked around with this on the back of the bib. Europe 16.5, US 11.5. He had the Ryder Cup. How good is that?
Just rub it in, baby.
So good, right? I loved it. That is hands down my winner. My weird this week. And one of the special things about Augusta National is to buy something at Augusta, you have to physically go there. They don't sell their merchandise online. You can't go to an AugustaShop.com and order stuff. You have to walk into to one of the souvenir areas, one of the main buildings or little satellite ones around the property and purchase something. So you think to yourself, you know, what's the number one thing at Augusta that people are lined up for? Is it a shirt? Is it a hat? Is it a flag? Is it a replica of the trophy of the clubhouse? And all these things go through your mind. Nope. It's a garden gnome. This is ridiculous. In fact, the garden gnome has gotten so popular, they're limiting the sale of garden gnomes to one per person. And last year on eBay, some guy was selling one for 15 grand. I mean, Bob, what's the most ridiculous thing you've ever bought online? And what do you think the most you'd ever spend for a garden gnome would be?
Well, I haven't. I've tried to get a garden gnome, and every time I go in there, which isn't that often, into the shop, they're sold out. They have a limited number, and they put them out each day, so they're not all sold out on Monday. They have them for every day of the week. But I have never been in there fast enough to get one of those things. But I bought a lot. I got a lot of master stuff at my house. I will say that. I should go do an inventory.
I know Scully. This is his first trip ever to Augusta, and Adam, I know 1,000%. You are not running in there waiting for the garden gnome. I know you're going to go with the schmediums. You're running in for schmediums.
Right, and I'm taking orders actually as we speak. And let's just say yes. I haven't quite put the odds on the over-under on dollars spent in the merch shop, but it's not going to be low.
About 10 years ago, the average spend was 850 US per person. I think that's climbed up well over 1,000 now. It is crazy. It's something nuts, like a million a day in souvenirs. Okay, my what, gents? My what this week? What an unbelievable Sunday, Monday turn of events in Australia. Peter Wilson, the number 881st player in the world. I want you to think about this. This guy's barely in the top 1,000 in the world. In a local PGA of Australia event at his home club called Lang Lang Golf Club in Australia. He shoots 59 on Sunday in a Stableford event, wins the event, goes out Monday at his home course again. Guess what he does? Shoots 59. Now, okay, it's his home club. It was only 6,000 yards, but I don't care. Back-to-back 59s from the number 881 player in the world. What a weekend for Peter Wilson. Okay, that does it for me. Where am I going here, boys? The Bob. Tea is yours, Bob.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
But why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right, guys. Well, my winner this week is, once again, this is a popular win, is the European Tour's social media. And this week what they did was they put a bunch of emojis together and asked a bunch of players to try and decipher the emojis that would reveal players' names on the tour. And some of them are fairly easy, like Adam Scott was pretty easy. But This is the one that got me. I couldn't figure this one out. I'm going to throw it back to you. There's an emoji of a robot. Then there's an emoji of a hamburger. And then there is an emoji of a car wheel. Robot, hamburger, car wheel. Can you decipher a player's name from that? I'll give it to you.
I'm just going to say Bern Wiesberger because I'm just thinking burger, but I have no clue here.
So the robot is robot, and the burger is actually a Mac, and the wheel is actually a tire. So it's robot McIntyre.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, it's very funny to go through. You can get this on their social media, which is DP World Tour, of course, and go through that. But once again, those guys just have a very inventive nature to their social media, and I just love it. My weird this week is a story that actually came across a news feed from Bloomberg, believe it or not, the business newspaper, and it involves Scottish golf courses falling into the sea. Now, they named there's a lot of storms that hit, especially the eastern side of Scotland, and they are getting stronger and stronger, and of course, these golf courses are built on dunes. And so these things are starting to wipe out the dunes or change the dunes. Now, so far, there haven't been any, like, super big names like the old course, although the old course has known some of the beach areas have been affected. And some of these big courses obviously have the means to build banners with big, huge, or buttresses, I should say, with big, huge rocks across them. But there are some courses that you might know the names of if you're an aficionado. Goolsbee, Brora, Fortrose, some of those have lost almost entire fairways into the water, into the ocean. So these golf courses are wondering, how are we going to survive here? And there's a good case that this is going to get worse. Last year they had 10 what they call named storms, like we name hurricanes here. They had 10 storms of that strength, and they figure there's going to be a lot more. And by 2040, they figure this will hammer and affect over 100 golf courses on the Scottish coast. Mark?
Bob, just to bring this home, I find this so interesting that this is your weird this week, because 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I received an email blast for my golf club in Toronto, the Toronto Hunt Club. And through testing, we're very much in working with the city all the time, testing our soil, making sure that we're doing the right thing for our property as responsible citizens. Anyway, we need to make a monster investment and put some long-term golf course plans on hold to then redirect that money to secure our bluff line, because some of the erosion to the bluff line is bigger than it has been in quite some time. So we need to protect the bluff, or we might not have a first hole in a few years. So we've got to do something to this point.
I remember Crowbush Cove went through a similar, they had a huge storm that actually turned one hole into the fact that you had to have a 380-yard carry over water, which was a little bit difficult for that hole, obviously. Anyway, there's a problem facing some of these seaside golf courses. My what this week is, what a debut for Charlie Woods in the American Junior Golf Association. Actually, not a great debut, but Charlie played his first AJGA golf tournament, the Will Lowry Junior Championship, and he finished in a tie for 32nd place out of 51 players, shooting 21 over. He shot 78, 81, 78. The winner, by the way, was a guy by the name of Pat Malcolm, who shot 7 under. So a lot of people are always asking, you know, is Charlie Woods going to be the next Tiger Woods? Well, I think he's got a long way to go, and this is only one tournament, obviously, but you never know. It might show a little bit of where Charlie Woods' game is. All right, Adam, the tee is yours.
348. Oh, man, that is sweet.
I know everyone's going to put a ton of pressure on Charlie Woods here. I feel bad for him, honestly. Like, it's almost a no-win situation unless he does go out and win major championships. But, hey, good for Charlie Woods for trying. And I know he's got a lot of talent. There's a lot of ball speed. There's a lot of club head speed. So I'm looking forward to seeing Charlie Woods whenever he does get the chance to tee it up. Excuse me. Now, speaking of ball speed, that's where I'm going with my winner this week. And Padraig Harrington has shown a lot of ball speed as of late on PGA Tour Champions. And he's got this great thing online called Paddy's Tips, where he gives a lot of different swing tips, short game tips, golf tips, etc. But he put out a video over the weekend talking about Scottie Scheffler's move, where the right foot goes behind, and his left foot does actually move as well. He goes in depth into this, and Padre actually takes some swings trying to imitate said move, and it's almost like it's not quite the ballerina what he's doing, but like one foot is definitely popping off. He actually whiffed one. So I don't know about you guys, but I think it would be at some point, it'd be a fun little exercise for the three of us to go stand on a tee block. We should be behind each other. So if the ball goes directly sideways, we're not hitting each other in some bad spots. But I think we should try to give the Scheffler move a work of art of our own. Mark, what do you think?
I think, are we going to show this on TV this week, Adam? The viral clip from Harrington? Okay, great. I think we should try it. I think it's hilarious. I mean, and everybody says this. I think Bob said this a couple of weeks ago. You'd never go to a PGA professional and say, teach me that. Impossible, right?
The Scheffler shuffle.
The Scheffler shuffle. So good.
I like that. The Scheffler shuffle. Yeah, it's. We'll definitely play this on Golf Talk Canada television this week so you guys can all watch it for sure. Now, something that... well, it wasn't so pretty to watch was my weird. And that's Justin Thomas on Saturday on the greens. And I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I've had rounds personally where my longest putt was 2 feet, 9 inches. JT shot an 8 over 79. He lost over 7 shots to the field on the greens alone. That is so remarkably hard to do that. And for JT, he has struggled on the greens throughout the year, despite playing a lot better this year. Mark, did you see any of these putts up close? Have you washed your eyes out yet or what?
I saw a lot of it. I had him on, was it Friday or Saturday for 9 holes? Might have been Friday. It's mind-boggling, and I'll ask you guys this question. I mean, if Justin Thomas, let's put this in driving, or let's put this in greens and regulation world. If he went out on a regular basis for a couple of years and averaged 5 greens in regulation, do you think he might make a swing change? Do you think he might hire a new coach? Do you think he might change golf equipment if he could only manage to hit 5 greens in regulation? How many years now have we watched Justin Thomas on the regular, with the exception of a couple of weeks where he's found a win at the PGA 2 years ago? Again, with the exception of a couple outliers, how many years have we watched Justin Thomas putt the 5 greens in regulation? He's a horrible putter. He looks robotic. It's the same stance, the same position. He's so stiff, same putter, same grip. I mean, this is what we were so frustrated about Scottie Scheffler for the last year and a bit. If Scottie had made this change to this mallet and a little bit changes 8 months ago, God knows how many more wins Scottie might have. I mean, the reluctancy to try something different is shocking to me. He looks so uncomfortable. I don't know. Bob, is this like, why are we still doing the same thing over and over again?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, you just kind of wish that he would try something different, or maybe he is, or maybe whatever he's doing obviously is not working. So that means let's try something that will work. But that, those numbers were, I mean, they're just jaw dropping when you look at them and how poorly he was on every single green. There wasn't one, you know, putt that you would consider be good.
Well, in the history of golf, both real and fake, you might think of some unique putting stances, and that's where I'm going with my what, and that is the script for Happy Gilmore 2 has been written. Why it's not my winner, I really hope they don't mess this up. Happy Gilmore is a classic. We've seen in the past Anchorman 2, The Hangover 2, some of these sequels, I'm sorry, they just suck. So hopefully Happy Gilmore 2 is fine. It's not ruined.
Do you know the Twitter handle, the Shooter McGavin Twitter handle? And he tweeted out a photo of Adam Sandler, who, it was not a very complimentary photo of Adam Sandler. He looks overweight. He's a disheveled mess. And Shooter McGavin Twitter handle says, "I'm not losing to this guy again."
We'll have much more on this on GTC TV. We'll have fun back and forth because, surprise, surprise, we're going long in this segment. When we come back here on GTC, we'll wrap up today's show.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from QMerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyric. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
Wrapping up this morning's edition of GTC with some leaderboard updates. Leaderboard updates brought to you by Bushnell Golf, number one rangefinder in the world of golf. Check out bushnellgolf.com for much more information. PGA Tour champions Padraig Harrington after the Scheffler Shuffle. He is the winner there. Stephen Ames finishing fourth. Nelly Korda winning on the LPGA Tour. Clay Fagler winning on PGA Tour Americas. And Peter Malnati winning on the PGA Tour. Only a couple seconds left here. Mark, how excited are you to get back in the gym?
I'm curious, guys. I'm a little scared and a little curious, so we'll see how it goes. But I'm also getting ready. I got so much work to do to get ready for this Houston tournament that I have no idea what's going on.
Okay. Well, hey, boys, it's been another fun start to the week with you guys. You guys can watch us on TSN television tomorrow, Tuesday night, and we're back here on the TSN Radio Network Wednesday at 10 a.m. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, and remember, the first good decision for the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit GolfTalkCanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network.